This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Before we start today's episode, we're going to be talking about our new sponsor.
Yes.
And this is Freed AI.
Have you heard of Freed AI?
I have. And it sounds like an amazing product.
Yes.
Because Lord knows that I spend all my time doing my notes.
All the time.
And my charting and documentation and coding and everything. And then I get frustrated when other people don't do the same thing.
Exactly.
So,
and then you're not spending enough time with the patient or at home because you're like trying to catch up.
Yes. I'm always just stuck on charts. And that's that. I really try not to be looking at my computer when I'm talking to a patient. But it's really hard because once that patient leaves the room, I have to sit down and chart everything or go back home. Put down the party.
Yep.
Right? And then in bed, start charting. And I'm constantly like, did they say this? Or they did say that? So then I kind of summarize everything. But it's so nice to just have something that literally transcribes everything in the moment before the patient even walks out of the room. That's you already amazing. Have your documentation ready to go.
Exactly. That's amazing. And I remember also from my husband when he was working at a clinic, he would be back home and just spend so much time just charting away with his little like notes and then putting them into the EMR and stuff like that. So, which is great because when I spoke with Freed AI, it kind of came from that story where her husband, his name is Erez, he's a computer engineer and he created this for Freed AI because his wife was just spending so much additional time, you know, trying to chart away and keep up with the workload and whatnot. So it's a great product. It's being used right now with more than 12,000 clinicians in every specialty. There's over 1 million notes that are written each month using Freed. Of course, it's HIPAA compliant, so you don't have to worry about protecting your patient's safety, which is obviously very important. Yes.
And also, it works as a scribe.
Exactly.
Right? And there are a lot of clinics and hospitals that use scribes. However, I can say through experience, it's very hard even with a scribe because at the end of the day, you're not the person writing that note. So maybe something that a patient said might be transcribed by that person in a different way.
Right.
So it's really difficult because then sometimes you have to double back to fix those notes.
Makes sense.
So more time. And then also, it was always a bad day when my scribe would call out or quit on me.
Which obviously would not happen.
That would not happen here. Exactly. And also, I will say as well, which I think is brilliant, is that not only does it cover across all specialties, but it covers different languages.
Oh, yes.
So for me, I have a high Spanish-speaking patient population.
Yes.
So I was always worried that even if we had one of these systems, I wouldn't really get the benefits of it because half of my visits, or more than half, almost 100% of my visits are mostly in Spanish.
Yeah.
Right? So then I would say, what's the point in having these things or these systems that can transcribe if they can't even transcribe in Spanish? It's amazing because Freed AI can work through various languages. So it's not just Spanish, English. You know, they have
French,
multiple others.
You know,
which is amazing.
It's wonderful. I mean, it just obviously it just takes off so much of that burden of like and so much of that stress of like, you know, okay, let me try to remember that. Let me chicken scratch that so I don't forget that important thing to put in their chart afterwards or whenever I could get to it. It's a wonderful system. It takes less than 30 seconds to get it up and running. So it's not something that you have to spend so much time learning and trying to get used to it and whatnot.
Very user-friendly.
Very user-friendly, easy to use.
I can say personally, every time that someone introduces a new system to me. I'm like,
of course.
Here we go. You're gonna have to sit through a whole entire day of training. Yeah. And it's gonna like back me up into my day. And no, it's very user friendly.
Not the case here. So that on its own is a huge benefit as well, just to get it up and running.
I also think it's fantastic that this came from two people that are experienced with this charting and the world of charting and how much time it can take away from your personal life. So it's very tailored, and it doesn't come from someone that has never been in a clinic, has never done charting before. And I think that that is a perspective that is so important, and it's really unique to Freed AI.
Absolutely. So go ahead and give it a try. You can try 10 notes for free, and after that it costs $99 a month. But you could also try Freed AI using our code FUNNY50. You would have to go to getfreed.ai. And so let me just spell that out for you. GETFREED.AI and user code FUNNY50 for $50 off your first month.
And trust me, it is worth it.
It's wonderful. Give that a shot. And now back to the episode.
Hello, Patreon.
Hi.
We're back. This is something that's really trending. Oh, it's pretty much everywhere these days, and it's going to continue to be everywhere. And now with school starting, it's topical. So we're going to talk about...
This is a huge topic. We're going to talk about screen time.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you see this all the time, being a pediatrician.
Yeah. So all the time, there's a lot of conspiracies, a lot of things coming out on like screen time. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think there's a lot of truth to a lot of things that are being said about screen time. But I feel like there's no like happy medium anymore. It's either you're fully against screen time, or you're like, you're stoned to death if you show your kids a show.
But it's like that almost with everything these days.
Yeah.
And screen time is just unfortunately no different. And it's mostly when it's something so important to our kids. It's, you know. So we decided, let's look into it. Let's see what's the research that's actually out there. What is the actual real stuff instead of people's opinions? Evie's fine. She needed her...
I just need my eye drops.
Eye drops.
Cheers.
We're here. We're back. Yeah. Cheers to caffeine.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to be talking about screen time. Yeah, very controversial. Yeah. I love it, though, because we get to interact with everyone on this topic.
We'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of opinions on this topic in the interwebs.
Let's explore a little bit on the positive and negatives on medical information revolving screen time.
Yes.
Okay? And this is all backed by scientific studies.
Yes. This is not opinion-based.
Robust. All right, so the positive things, let's start with the positives, okay? So screen time isn't the doom and gloom. In fact, it has a lot of benefits, especially when it's used wisely, right? So screen time can offer several benefits for the young children when used in, appropriately, right? So here's some key advantages that we're going to talk about when it comes to the positive side on screen time. Educational benefits. I think that's the one that everyone is mostly familiar about. And this is the one that I tell parents a lot too. Kids learn a lot from screen
time. They do.
Nora was learning her colors, her numbers, everything.
It's a good tool, in my opinion, but we'll get into that.
Learning new concepts. So high quality educational programs and apps can teach children new ideas and skills in a fun way. For example, shows that include music, movement, and stories can help children learn about different subjects. They can also grow their vocabulary as well. So watching an educational content can help children learn new words and understand how to use them. A lot of the time, they even sound out a lot of the words so that it's easier for them. I think everyone is very familiar with Miss Rachel.
First one that came to mind.
So can you say mama? Can you say shut up? I love you, Miss Rachel.
Yeah, I know.
You pulled me out of a lot of things, Nora.
Yeah, we love you, but it's like...
Yeah. I know, but that's her job. Like, that's the point, right?
100%. She does a great job at it.
this kind of content is like especially effective when parents watch and discuss the content with their children. So you can also get problem-solving skills, right? So some video game apps encourage children to think critically and solve problems, which can also help develop their cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
So funny, when I was younger... I was probably like in the fifth grade or fourth grade, probably the fourth grade, because I remember it was my teacher that did it. I was tutored. I had a lot of tutoring when I was younger.
Yeah, most of us do.
Yeah. It was like a lot. But I remember going to my teacher's house and she would tutor me math. That was always my thing. Math was always my thing.
I also went to my teacher, my math teacher's house.
Exactly. Yeah. And she had me play a computer game back then. Okay. So back then, we're talking about when computers
huge desktops.
Were the desktop, like the boxes.
Yeah. That right? There was like a room, a computer room.
Yeah. Like when you used to use floppy disks.
Yes. Okay.
So I remember going to her house and she put on this game, this like gorilla, and it was a math game. Uh-huh. And I would just practice my math because a lot of times repetition is what you need.
Right.
So she would tutor me first, and then she was like, okay, if you answer all these correctly, we're going to go to the computer and play the computer game.
Uh-huh.
So it motivates me, right? So this is kind of like how I relate to the problem solving. So there are things that you can use with screen time that are going to motivate kids to learn more.
That's true. Yeah. That reminds me of, remember when we also grew up with those like encyclopedia games or whatever? Do you remember those?
Yes, I remember those.
And there was like a jungle or whatever. Yeah. Like I have a very vivid... Like Britannica, like the
learning how to type our high school classes. Yes. They would put a box over our hands and we had to beat the person like in a canoe.
Exactly. Yes, the canoe.
And we were just trying to type. So there's a lot of things that we remember.
Yeah.
But I will say, and I think this is where the controversy comes in.
Yeah.
I think the screen time was obviously not as much.
Oh no. And it was more like education.
But my brother played Nintendo. He played PlayStation. So he played Sega.
Yeah.
He played. He had an Atari. So screen time existed. I just don't think it was like now
as accessible.
Not like cell phones, tablets.
Yeah, because back then when we were in the car. There was no phone. Yeah. There was no iPad. Yeah. There was nothing. We had to just look out the window. Now, like for our kiddo, whenever we go to Disney or whatever,
they don't
iPad.
I know. I remember I used to see I would see like 76 miles to Orlando, and I was like, yes,
exactly.
We'll be there in like 1.5 hours.
Exactly, because you know that you're only listening to like Barry White or something that your parents are listening to, at least
and now
me.
Nora does not know any of that. Well, actually, Nora falls asleep. She actually hasn't gone a Disney trip. I can't remember, actually. She hasn't gone a trip where she's, like, fully on
tablet.
Nora doesn't even have a tablet.
And Nora's not on the tablet the whole time. He eventually falls asleep most of the time. And for most of the trip.
But it
gets them there to, like, that, all the sleepiness or whatever. And then I remember seeing Yeehaw County or trying to say all our crazy Florida, like, town names on the way over.
We have really some really crazy
and Wapoli and whatever. Like, there's so many of them.
I just remember we always stopped at Fort Pierce or Fort Drum.
Exactly.
The rest station, area.
We still do now.
We still do, too. And it's so
right in the middle.
How new it is.
Oh my God, it's day and night from one
week. Those of you that live in Florida and grew up going to Disney, you know what we're talking about.
Chime in.
You know what we're talking about, that rest area. Well, if you've been there lately, it's completely redone. So
it's beautiful now.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Back then it was danky.
I hate the parking
dark.
There, but yeah.
Yeah, and sketchy.
Yeah, it was really...
Back then it was sketch.
Don't worry, the Cinnabon is still there.
Oh yeah.
Well, now I think it's an Onsean's.
I think it's
I think it's a Cinnabon. I don't know.
It depends on which one. It depends.
The fourth. We go to the Fort Pierce one.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I think it's a Cinnabon.
And there's definitely Dunkin'.
If I ever lose my dad, I know where to find him. He's always going to be at the Cinnabon stop. Okay, anyway.
Oh my God. Okay. That's what we do anyway. Yeah. So that's what we do here.
Yeah.
All right. So social and emotional benefits. Let's talk about those benefits now too. So screen time can help with this. So for instance, with interactive programs and games that require turn-taking or teamwork, can help children learn how to interact with others. This can especially be helpful for developing social skills. Learning empathy and tolerance. So well-designed programs can teach children important skills and social skills like values like empathy, respect, and anti-violence attitudes. And of course, that depends on what they're doing. Because if you're doing like a shooter game, that's obviously out the window.
Yeah.
Emotional regulation. So screen time can sometimes help calm a child when he or she is overexcited or distressed, such as a medical procedure, which is true. Like that, yeah. I've done that and it really does help, at least with my kiddo.
Yeah.
And then for creative and communication skills, it can help with boosting creativity. So digital tools can encourage children to be creative, whether through drawing, apps, video editing, or creating music. These activities can enhance their imaginative skills. And improving communication, so like video chats and interactive games, can help children communicate better, especially with family members who are far away from other states and whatever. We had to do that at some points. And then obviously this can help strengthen bonds and improve their language skills. And of course, this is all like the benefits of it. There's obviously the other side to everything I just said, but we're looking at the benefits, at least for right now.
Yeah. All right. Practical skills too. You can have practical skills from screen time. Digital literacy. So using digital devices, helping children become familiar with technology. Nora knows how to skip.
Yeah.
She knows how to ignore my phone calls.
And she's three. Her daughter's three.
She's just turned three. Yeah. Okay? She knows how to end my phone calls. She knows when people call me. She knows exactly who it is. And I'm always shocked.
Yeah.
And Mike is also like, how did she
Yeah, the way that
how
they
to play the video, like pause and play.
Yeah, the way that they know how to do that so early
again, repetition. Right? So this is Okay. So this is all going to be important for kids because we are living in a day and age where it is all electronics.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and it's only going to get more.
Exactly. We need to advance with the times.
100%.
We need to keep up with that. Right.
That was my thought that I was like in the beginning. I'm like, we're only getting deeper and deeper in technology. So I feel like restricting them too much is not a great thing. There has to be a happy medium.
Exactly. I think everything in moderation. I always try to advise and recommend is everything in moderation. Everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. However, some people's moderation and like levels of moderation is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But anyways, I digress. We digress. Yeah. When it comes to digital literacy, they're going to have a lot of practice with a lot of electronics. And this can range anything from basic navigation to more complex tasks like coding.
Okay? Yeah.
I think that's like a big one in our day and age.
Kind of reminds me of when we were in MySpace. We started like coding.
Yeah. Goodness, I can't believe you just brought that up.
Yeah,
I
think about it.
About that.
I know.
The photo bucket.
Yeah, all of us had to learn from each other. Back then, you know, to teach us about coding. We just learned from each other about changing code for our freaking profiles.
Like our parentheses or something, then that way create
the brackets and then put that code into that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, dude. Okay. I don't even know how to do that now. I totally forgot about it. I have no idea how to do that now.
Julie just saw me reply to a video on TikTok. I had no idea what I was doing. I'm always lost.
Check out our TikTok.
I thought I did a pretty good job.
Okay. You did great.
So
I'm trying to get her more into the social media game. She needs
She's
to do
definitely
it.
Queen of social media.
I am not.
I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And, she is. She's lying. She's being modest.
We're going to continue.
All right. So school readiness. Okay. Another big thing. Many schools are just pushing electronics.
Less books.
Yeah, I know. And when I was in med school, we were still in that like transition where a lot of things were PDFs, but I'm more of like a hard book person.
Yeah.
That's how I learned like my highlighting and like underlining and like all these things. It was really hard for me to read digitally.
Isn't it crazy that our kids might not have that ability at all?
I know, highlight and all these. I mean, they can. They just have to do it like on the.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah,
it's different.
So school readiness, educational apps, ebooks, all of that can prepare schools by teaching them basic literacy and numeracy skills. So engaging with these tools alongside with parents can also be like also make learning more effective.
Yeah,
but you can also have social connections. I think that's like the biggest one when we think about screen time.
Yeah.
So staying connected. So video chats, online games, helping children stay connected with friends and family, especially in-person interactions are not possible, right? So like during COVID, I think that was a great example.
Huge.
We weren't able to see friends, families. We had to always be distant, long distance of family members.
The schooling.
Schooling, exactly. Long distance schooling. So.
Which I don't know how parents did it. In those days, that must have been bleak. Because I cannot, thank God my kiddo was not in the age to go to school yet. He was like 2 or 3 at that point. Mm-hmm. And I was thanking my lucky stars because I would see kiddos that are 5, 6, 7, whatever, having to do virtual schooling. And I'm like, that looks like a nightmare.
Nightmare.
And we're seeing all the questions.
It was a nightmare for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have a lot of patients that came from other countries. Mm. And then imagine they did not know the language. Oof. They came from a third world country.
Yeah,
so they don't even know what computers are.
Yeah.
So to them, it's like, They had to learn a new language. They had to learn computer literacy. They had to learn all these things that sometimes we don't even think about it because it's kind of second nature to us.
Of course. Of course. So,
but yeah, just so being connected is going to be a big part of a positive. Mm. And then now Jules is going to jump into the negative side effects. Yeah. Not side effects. The negative side of screen time.
Yeah, which obviously it's pretty much the other side of everything we've said, like yeah. with so much social media, with all these abilities that you could have, like doing screen time, there's obviously the exact negative to that, you know. Excessive screen time can have significant long-term effects on mental health, even if we don't always notice them like right away, because that's typically how it happens with mental health, in most cases at least. Let's break that down a little bit. There's an increased risk of anxiety and depression. So too much time spent on screens, especially obviously in social media, can lead to feelings of anxiety and depression over time. This is partly because we can tend to compare ourselves to others online, which can make us feel inadequate or even left out. And that's
massive,
you know, and it's still reminiscent from like when we were in that time too.
There's so much truth to that. There's so much truth to that. When I was in middle school, I only compared myself to other middle school girls.
Exactly.
You know, yes, like we had like people that we looked up to and stuff like that, but
direct comparison.
Exactly. Mm. I have girls now, you know, adolescents now, that their comparison are the Kardashians.
Oh my God. And that's impossible.
Their comparison is Alex Earl, right?
Yeah.
And again, it's okay to have a aspiration, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. no one's better than anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just the fact that they don't live their age,
that's different. That's a whole different animal there.
Yeah, they don't really like let themselves enjoy their age.
Yeah.
So then they're constantly wanting more. And if you see these girls, I see girls that are 12 with nails like if they were 25.
I cannot.
Right? And you know what? That's very controversial, but that's just my opinion, okay?
Yeah.
So nails like if they're 25-year-old.
This is just a dweeb at 12.
Surgeries. They're having surgeries done. They just eyelashes, the eyelash extensions, that's a huge one.
I'm gonna shut my mouth on that.
Yeah, eyelash extensions. And again, these are not, we're not talking about a 16, 17-year-old, right? Because I remember going to my 8th grade prom, and that was special. Yeah. Like, I would go do my nails for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it. Like, that was not a thing, mm-hmm. right? But we have, this is now
12, though.
12, yeah.
12 is young. Like, I kind of see it more if you're 15, but 12 is...
12. I've literally had a 12-year-old tell me that her like, ex-best friend was a homewrecker.
What?
Yeah, and I was like, where is the home? There is no home.
For whom?
For her. That she... So, like, her ex-best friend, right, stole her boyfriend...
Oh my God.
So she called her a homewrecker. And then I was like, I don't think you understand the depth.
There's no home, honey.
Yeah. I was like, I know what you're trying to tell me.
I was alarmed at first because I'm like, is there a pedophile involved here? Like, what is going on? And no. I was like, oh, honey, you live in your parents' home.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Like, you don't have a home of your own. Like,
so that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
oh, boy.
And I knew what she was trying to tell me. I was like, I understand what you're trying to say. But I felt like telling her, I'm like, do you know what homewrecker is?
Honey, sweetie pie. Yeah.
Anyway,
so additionally, with constant stream of information and notifications can overwhelm our brains, leading to stress and worry, which is kind of like right there in line with all these notifications always coming into your phone or your tablet or whatever. You kind of get a little addicted to that.
Yep.
Because then that just spikes up that dopamine. You know, every time you get that notification, you got an attention, you got this, you got a like, you got a comment, like whatever.
Yeah.
And then dopamine. You know, it's like you want more and more. Anyway, so then there's also a decrease in overall well-being. So studies have found that people who spend more time on screens tend to report lower levels of happiness and life satisfaction. And again, that's like because you're constantly chasing that high, you know, mm-hmm. that dopamine or whatever. So then this might be because screen time often replaces other activities that are good for our mental health, like face-to-face social interactions, physical exercise, or spending time in nature. Just go out there and touch grass.
You know? Exactly.
And
get your feet onto the grass.
Exactly. So, and then, of course, sleep problems. Using screens, especially before bedtime, guilty.
Oh my goodness. For my population.
Super guilty. Can mess with our sleep patterns. The blue light from screens can trick our brains into thinking it's still daytime, making it harder to fall asleep. And poor sleep can then lead to other mental health issues, as we all know. Check out all of our sleep episodes. Like irritability, difficulty concentrating.
We have a lot of sleep episodes.
It's just very important. And people like those episodes
too. They like it.
And even more severe mood problems over time.
Yeah. Obviously, if you are going to be... So one of the negative things about screen time is the more time you spend on it, you end up having attention and focus issues, right? Mm-hmm. So constantly switching between apps, notifications, mm-hmm. different types of content, you're like training your brain to constantly have new things, right? It's the constant... Yeah. Like, oh, new.
Yeah.
How many times have you stopped following someone because they're just not posting new content?
Yeah, I get it.
And it's not that you're not following, you just forget about that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's what happened to me. I forgot. Like,
yeah. So this is kind of what we're saying here is that it can make it a lot harder for you to focus on tasks in real life, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Potentially affecting work and school because you don't have that constant stimulation.
Yep. Yep.
It can also ruin your social skills as well. So spending, I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, I feel like I'm just preaching to the choir here. Yeah. But it's always the same complaint. Like, oh, they don't spend any time with the family. They don't this. They don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's, but so sometimes I look at the parent, I'm like, take it away.
Yeah.
Take it away.
But then the parent's like, well, then we're going to fight. And then what's really like...
Okay, fight. I'm not saying take it away permanently.
Yeah, I get it.
You're coming to me complaining about social media and they're literally on their phone right now.
Yeah, like, what do you want me to do about it if you can't?
But I understand a lot of parents want me, the pediatrician, to tell them.
Okay.
Right? Because then at home...
It comes from an authority
figure. Exactly. At home, they'll be like, remember what the doctor said and all that stuff, right?
Okay.
So I totally get that. And I'm more than happy to give that speech, right?
Well, you got to follow up with that.
So but you have home. To... I always tell parents too, I'm like, remember, everything that I say here, it's 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't see you probably till next year.
Exactly.
So you need to
reinforce
that. Yeah.
All right, so how much time in a day, a week, what have you, do you have to carve out either morning, afternoon, whatever it is, to go to an actual gym or a place to work out?
Not a lot.
Exactly. I figured.
Between work, life, mom life, everything that goes along with that,
life.
I don't have time. I literally, when I go work out, I need to go and... Someone needs to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Because if not, I will be there for 3 hours and it would be the most inefficient workout ever.
Exactly. You need somebody to lead you and to just make sense of that what you're doing actually is going to work for what you want.
And it's actually going to, give me progress and results.
Exactly. Exactly. If not, I feel like I'll just be looking at the machine and like, I guess
I should do it. Yeah. And then sometimes there's the situation where I don't have time, right? And then when let's say I do have time or someone else has time mm-hmm. and you go to the gym, it's how many times do you go and you look at a machine and you just question and then you turn away and then you just go to the treadmill.
Yep. Happens to me all the freaking time.
Yeah, and because cardio is great, but weight training, mm-hmm. we all know with all the research and the science that's coming out, we need to do weight training.
Exactly. And then it's like, how much of it do you need to do? How much are you doing too much, doing too little?
Little.
Yep. All those things. And then you're like, well, you could get a personal trainer, but those are pretty pricey.
Yeah.
You know? And you
so
also
pricey,
have to schedule them.
And 20 minutes.
Yep.
So whatever you don't do in those 20 minutes, goodbye.
Yeah.
Not saying that all personal training is like that, but most of the time it is, especially if you do go to a gym.
But we actually discovered Alpha Progression, and it's an app. It's a no BS training for muscle growth specifically. Alpha Progression is the go-to app for anyone trying to train, maximize muscle gain. And they are focused 100% on that. And it's science-based, which we love.
Which is great because everything should be backed up by evidence, not just someone without any credentials or any references or anything just telling you, oh, yeah, this is what you need to do because blah.
injuries could happen, yeah, you know?
And that's what we want to avoid, right? Exactly. We don't want to get injured so that we go in this terrible cycle of went to the gym, tried it, didn't work out for me, ended up in an injury.
It was developed by serious lifters with personal training and competitive bodybuilding backgrounds as well.
Alpha Progression has been recognized twice as App of the Day on Apple. Yeah. Just think about it. How many apps are out there and they've been featured twice as App of the Day. Also, it's one of the top rated fitness apps in Germany. For those of you that don't know, Germany has a huge fitness culture and they've recently started to expand to other places, which is great because hello, obesity in the United States.
Yep.
Welcome.
Exactly.
Give it to us.
Exactly. So it's one of the most intuitive workout loggers. So users love the UI and constantly it tells them how easy it is to use. And even though it's packed with features, making it ideal tool for both novices and seasoned trainers. So even if you're like, well, how much do I actually need this? I've been working out for years. It will probably show you something that you didn't know or how much of something you should be doing, et cetera, according to your actual level in working out. Because again, it's science-based.
Also, when you put in all your information, obviously your height, your weight, how active you are, they also take into consideration what machines you have. What don't you have? Do you have anything at all?
Yeah.
So it's really very much tailored to the person that is doing the workouts. It's all made from scratch. So you have your own plans. It's really quality wise that our plans measure up to the best personal trainers in the world.
They had a coach that charges $500 a month do the app, and it told them he would have done exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
Another big thing about the app is that strength training is all about progression, right? So then their actual algorithm analyzes past performances and gives recommendations for weight reps in every set. This obviously will guarantee long-term success and you won't be in those plateaus or anything like that. Obviously, it sounds so great. How much is it, right? So the pro version is $12.99 and this is in USD per month, or $79.99 for a whole year. But you also could just give it a try with a 2-week free trial. And since you're listening to this, customers get 20% off their first payment using the link alphaprogression.com/funnymed. And I will put it here for anybody watching this on YouTube. Give that a shot. And you get 20% off and you have 2 free weeks.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a great app.
It is.
Again, backed by science. Tailored to you, constantly measuring your progression so that it sets you up for succession and you're never going to hit those plateaus.
So check it out. And yeah, let's go back to the episode.
But anyway, so spending too much time in the digital world can impact your ability to form and maintain real world relationships. So we might be less comfortable face-to-face interactions and miss out on other important social cues that maybe don't translate through screens, right?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of studies showing that those social cues that you miss when you're not in like face-to-face with someone, and they say that that's why a lot of influencers are so popular because they can really show their personality and get that connection through a screen.
Yeah, there's talking about influencers or whatever, there's like this sound on TikTok that's like pretty popular right now that it's like people texting each other.
Yeah.
And then one is like, do you even want to hang out right now? And then the other person reads it like, oh, do you even want to hang out right now? Like in a different tone. And then the person replies, yeah, sure, whatever you want. And then the person gets it and it's like, yeah, sure, whatever you want. Do you even care? And then the other person, do you even care? Oh, you're so sweet. So like the tone is totally lost. And they're both in completely different frame of thoughts and whatever.
Yeah.
And I find it, that's like the perfect example to exactly what you're saying.
And now it's
you miss a lot of that.
So things are like really cool. Like Meta. Have you Meta is like Facebook, but like the Meta world.
Oh, right? Yeah. They're building that
where
up
they're, with the AI. With and the AI and the... what is that thing called?
Like the avatar?
Yeah, the avatar, right? So, and you just go and you like live in this avatar world. And you can have meetings. You can have everything in this like virtual. Yeah, in the metaverse. That's what it's called. So you can have meetings. You can have everything. People are going to have relationships. Like, it's only a matter of time.
Only a matter of time.
There's people that got together from like World of Warcraft.
Yes.
And all those things. So it's like,
yes.
what's to say that you're not going to meet an avatar?
Yeah, you're right.
And you have a second life.
You're right. An online second life. My mind has been blown.
Tell you.
I'm going to make a clip of this with my with an emoji just going at this.
Addiction.
Damn, yeah, but like, that's kind of like a Black Mirror episode.
Yes, the Black Mirror episode of the two fighters.
Oh my God. Yes. I love that episode because it's so messed up.
It's so crazy.
I love it because it's really so messed up. Yeah, yeah. But that one in particular blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because they're two straight guys, you know, yes, with their own families, their yes, own everything. And then they meet each other in this virtual world. And then one of them is female, the other one is male. They, you know.
And then they're obsessed with each other to the point where they literally are always playing online.
All the time. And it's just them banging it out online.
Yep.
That's going to happen, dude. It's inevitable.
And then they
it's
meet
inevitable.
Each other.
It's going to happen.
And then they meet each other in person, person.
Yes.
And they're like super confused.
Yeah, because you're like in person, in real person, they're still the best friends that they yes, male. They're still straight because online they exchange sexes.
Exactly.
Also then, but in the real world, they're just themselves.
It's so crazy. Black Mirror is one of those shows that I am like, this is insane. Insanely twisted, and I need another episode.
Exactly.
I need another episode.
But the thing is, because it's so, you could see it happening.
You can see it happening. And I think that's the crazy part about Black Mirror is that you can see it happening.
And that's why it's so twisted. And it's so, damn, I need to see more because you're like, I could totally see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Well, tangent. All right. So back to the negative side on
screen time.
I want to say social media.
Well, I mean, that's, okay, you know.
So some people develop unhealthy attachments to their devices. I'm guilty. This is my baby. Like, I can't. And even certain online activities is also a thing that they develop addiction-like behavior to.
Yeah.
So this can lead to compulsive checking of the phones, social media, and it can really interfere with your day-to-day life relationships. Sometimes I feel like all these popular people, influencers, whatever you want to call them, some are like people that have a large following or whatever. They sometimes say that they post like 8 times a day.
I know.
And I'm like, can you imagine you and I right now? We're just talking right now and I'm just like.
Oh no, but that's what they do. Or if not, they just put their phone somewhere and then they're cooking or drinking something, cleaning or whatever.
Yes.
I wish I knew, but I don't know
I think it's just a lifestyle that they're just so used to living and it becomes their job, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
You just kind of like learn to accept it almost. But for people that don't do that, we're just like,
how?
Just stop the fucking phone.
Get
off for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Funny story. When I when I gave birth, my mom was with me, right? And my mom has an addiction to the phone.
Also, does my mother.
Addiction. Yeah. If someone calls, she will pick up.
Okay? My mom is the same thing. I regret the day that I downloaded TikTok for her. I regret
my mom,
it so
I don't
bad.
Think my mom has TikTok yet.
Don't let her have it.
Looks at it through Facebook.
Don't let her have it.
I'm literally giving birth, pushing, okay? I am pushing, and my mom is picking up the phone, and she's like, Yvette's pushing right now. She's pushing right now. And I was so annoyed. I was like,
I can't imagine.
Don't pick up the phone anymore. And I remember she was like on this side of me, and she was like, okay, I gotta go.
Oh my God.
Not even for her first grandchild that my mom got stopped.
I could see it from your mom because she's such a nice
person. Like, she's like an amazing person.
But she's such a nice person that she can't like not purposefully not answer
exactly. That's what she
feels mean probably. Exactly. She feels like bad ignoring the comment.
She'd rather pick up and be like, I gotta go than to just call her back.
I could totally see that.
Maria Caridad. All right. Okay, so you have emotional processing difficulties, which we kind of touched on. So excessive screen time may affect your ability to recognize and process certain emotions. This can make it really hard for you to have empathy for certain situations. And how to manage your own feelings. Increased stress level as well. The constant connectivity that comes with screens can lead to feelings of always on, right?
Accurate.
like on.
Accurate.
Which increases overall your stress level. So chronic stress can have long-term effects on both mental and physical health. So it's important to note that not everyone will experience all of these effects and that the impact is varying depending on how the screen time is used. Mm-hmm. However, being aware of these potential risks can help us make more informed choices on our screen time. Mm-hmm. Taking regular breaks, setting boundaries, engaging in an offline activities can help really maintain good mental health in our increasingly digital world.
Which now that you say that about the influencers that they post like 8 times a day, they even record themselves taking said break.
Yes, exactly.
I'm like,
wake up with, oh my God.
I cannot with the wake up with me.
No, no, no.
I'm like, because you obviously had to put it up there, okay?
The one that I cannot with, that I was shocked, was the just spend the night with my 3-day-old newborn with me. And it's, she's literally recording herself half asleep, getting the baby, waking up with the baby, literally the whole entire night.
No. No, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. And it was very controversial because everyone was commenting saying, God, this is your newborn baby. You should be like finding that connection with your baby instead of you're finding the connection online and all these things. It was highly criticized. And then other people were appreciative. They're like, oh, it's good to see the inside. Thank you for posting such an intimate time for yourself. But I cannot... I remember being so exhausted. I cannot imagine.
That's what
waking up.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Waking up to turn on my camera, get back in bed, pretend to come out of bed.
Fuck that.
I don't know.
Man. No. And see, that's why I'm not even looking at the, connection or anything like that. It's like I was dead.
Yeah.
Those first three days, exactly. Especially, I was like
exhausted. I couldn't even handle people coming to visit me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that I'm going to invite the world when I look like death? I look and feel like death. And then I'm inviting the world to see it and experience it with me.
And absolutely not. I feel that there's the time lapse, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, maybe you would like set a camera in a corner. Because sometimes I've done that before where I do a time lapse and I forget about the camera.
Oh, right? I will 100%
forget. I forget about the camera. So maybe if you do that and you said, but this wasn't that type of video. This wasn't a time lapse video.
Yeah,
this was like 1 a.m. Get out of bed, get the baby, diaper change, the dad's half asleep.
And then all the editing that goes into that too.
And then like her like putting the baby to sleep and I was just like, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. Like, but you know what? There are people that can. And I feel like that's where the controversy comes in. That it's like people are highly opinionated and you're going to have people that support you and you're going to have people that don't support you.
And that's the thing. I don't have an opinion, honestly, on like the good or the bad about that content. I have my own opinion that I physically am not. Like somebody were to tell me the first 3 days after you give birth, you need to do this. I'd be like, that is so not happening.
Yeah.
Because not even about the content or like, is it good or is it bad? Not even that. I just cannot do it. Like, I literally just don't have the energy or even the mind to do it.
I could barely make it to Nora's first newborn appointment.
Exactly. So are you telling me that on top of that, I have to add another task? There's no room for that. There's just no time or room for that.
They do it for the talk. They do it for the TikTok. They do it for the gram.
Whatever. It's neither here nor there. Anyway, we're obviously talking a lot about kids because that's where screen time typically like is really focused on. But what about adults?
Yeah.
You know?
Both. It's terrible in both.
Exactly. So excessive screen time affects obviously both sides, like we were just saying, but it's a little different because of different developmental stages and all that. So let's break that down a little bit. So for children, screen time can significantly affect the brain development, particularly in young children. So studies have shown that excessive screen time, screen use in children under the age of 5 can lead to delays in language development, cognitive skills, and social emotional growth. The cortex.
One of the many cortexes.
Yes, which is crucial. So the particular cortex that's crucial for information processing undergoes critical development during, I always say this word wrong too. Adolescence is what I want to say.
Oh, adolescence.
Every time. I know. Adolescence.
I'm like, adolescence.
It's awful.
Adolescence.
I don't know why. I said that once. And so I think it was like a manager of mine in somewhere in New York. And she was like, you what?
She was so confused. I'm like, sorry. Didn't say anything. Anyway, so excessive screen time may affect its growth with, you know, that cortex, with some studies showing thinner cortices in children who use screens more than 7 hours a day. That's a lot. Okay, 7 hours a day is intense.
Unfortunately, you do see it.
I'm sure. But it's, and especially for young kids,
yeah,
a lot. Anyway, so for adults, now let's go ahead and look at that side. While adults' brains are fully developed, excessive screen time can still impact cognitive function, but the effects are generally a little less profound than children. So adults may experience changes in attention span and multitasking abilities, mm-hmm. for sure. But these are often more reversible than the developmental delays that we would see in children. So when it comes to social and emotional skills, how do we compare it? So for children, excessive screen time can interfere with development of crucial social skills. Children may struggle with face-to-face interactions, as she was talking about, because those cues are just not there. Empathy and reading social cues, like I just said. There's a higher risk of developing behavioral problems, including emotional reactivity and aggression, especially in younger children. For adults, while adults may experience some social isolation due to excessive screen use, their established social skills are less likely to be fundamentally altered. So, however, adults can still face challenges in maintaining relationships and may experience increased loneliness or depression. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just like suck yourself into that world, I don't see how not.
I think the most common one here that I think of, or the one that comes to my mind first, is going to be gamers.
Oh, for sure.
It's the gamers, the all night, staying up, then sleeping all day. You miss out on all the social interactions during the day because you're sleeping, and then most of your interactions come at nighttime. So I think that's the one that like mainly comes to mind. Yeah. And then obviously just like your regular person just like scrolling like all night.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there, done that. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, okay, so let's talk a little bit about sleep patterns, right? So in children, screen time, especially before bed, can significantly disrupt the sleep patterns. It's crucial. It's particularly crucial as sleep plays a vital role in children's growth and development. Like Julie was mentioning before with development, poor sleep can evolve into behavioral issues, learning difficulties, and even impact physical growth, okay? So the way I like to explain this to parents is... when you don't sleep, right? So first of all, you'll sleep later, right? Because it's harder for you to get to sleep.
Exactly.
Right? Your quality of sleep, so staying asleep, will also be affected. Mm-hmm. So then you didn't sleep, so you're not really well rested. Right. So then when you're supposed to concentrate, you're tired, right? Yeah. So it's not that you're not focusing, it's that you're so tired that your brain can't do that. So then that affects, they're irritable, right? Because they're tired. Mm-hmm. Two, they're probably more sleepy or something like that. So like parents register that as that they're not focusing,
right?
They're not concentrating on things. So then when they're not concentrating or focusing, then they think that there's memory issues because they're like, Doc, I told them this. And 5 minutes later, they're like, oh, I forgot. So it's like this vicious cycle, right? And then you just do it all over again.
Again, sleep is so important.
Yeah. And then in adults, while adults experience like sleep disruptions from excessive screen time, they generally have more control over their sleep habits and may be better equipped to manage the impact that it has on it. At the end of the day, we always say 2 hours before bedtime, you should be letting go of screen times. And then parents look at me like if I have three heads and I'm just and I understand it's hard.
Yeah.
I understand it's hard. I'm just telling you what the recommendation is.
Right.
And it is your job to find how you can get to that, right?
Right.
So attention and learning. So kind of like we had already discussed before, children, excessive screen time can lead to shorter attention span, potentially affecting them focusing in school and then affecting their learning. So it can also impact their creativity and their problem-solving skills, and screen time often replaces hands-on exploratory play, right? So there's a lot of schools that focus on this now too, that they're like, no, like... let them go and explore and all these things.
First one that comes into mind is like Montessori.
There's also like other different forms of education to let kids kind of explore like with their five senses. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just think about it and I'm like, why is that such a thing now?
Right.
You know, it's because screen time, I think, is such a big thing now.
Yeah.
So this is different.
Exactly.
Right. But this is what we used to do the entire time.
Yep.
Yep. I never went to a Montessori school. I'm not saying anything on Montessori schools.
No.
I actually really love the whole entire educational basis of Montessori. Mm-hmm. And other types of educational models. But this is what we used to do before.
Yeah, yeah.
We weren't sitting down playing. We were outside picking up leaves. Like, I don't know, playing with bugs. Yeah. I don't know what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But arts and craft, learning things, touching different things, putting them together, see what would happen.
Exactly.
Science experiments. So,
oh, for sure.
And now
I had a little kitchen outside. Yeah. I just played with leaves of dirt.
And that's
what I did all the time.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah.
So I feel like now, because screen time is so
prevalent,
then now people are like, oh, well,
how do we remove it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then adults, they can also experience a lot of attention-related issues. Oh, for sure. But typically have more developed strategies and managing distractions. Same thing as their sleep. So in children, it's kind of like they don't know, right? With adults, we can kind of manage and kind of get by. But I think the common denominator here is that kids are generally more affected.
So then how does screen time affect physical health for both children and adults? So for children, it's strongly linked to obesity in children, partly due to decreased physical activity, she had just mentioned, and increased snacking while using screens. I mean, come on, we all do that. So excessive screen time can also affect children's posture and vision during crucial developmental years. Adults also face a risk of obesity and physical inactivity from excessive screen use, they generally have more autonomy in balancing screen time with your physical activity, because obviously you're an adult. Okay, I need to stretch. I need to walk a little bit, like something. I need to change something. Kids don't have that frame of thought. So then parental influence. She knows it. Yeah. Anyway, so an important factor to consider is how parental screen use affects children. So studies show that parents' excessive screen time can lead to fewer and lower quality parent-child interactions, disruption in development of joint attention skills with children. So that joint play, that conversation that you have with your kid, not just like being together, learning from each other in essence. Because incredibly so, like as a parent, you can learn from your kid.
Yeah, I was guilty. So when when Nora was like younger, he like one or something, I always have my phone on me from work, from everything. And it's like easy like for someone to just call me and all that stuff. So I was constantly like on my phone. So she would also be like, well, I want your phone too. So then I kind of like realized that she was connecting that. And then this was like obviously in the car or something like that. So now I have a rule for myself that it's like when we're in the car, we're either like playing Lion King or something. And when I try to do the music, not the actual screen.
Okay.
So I pull up like the albums of all these like Disney movies that she loves. Yeah, and then I try to just engage with her because it is so easy for us to just
100%.
Like at home, going to bed or something like that, to just be like on our phones and really missing out on that interaction.
Exactly.
And we don't do it on purpose. Like we don't do it to like purposely not interact with them. It's just
how life has become.
Yeah. You just,
honestly,
you get on your phone and all of a sudden you only picked it up to do one thing. And then all of a sudden you're 20 minutes into your phone and you didn't even realize it.
You could order your groceries. You need to get something from Amazon or your email, or somebody called you or texted you. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be social media. Exactly. It's a million things.
Exactly.
And then also there's an increased risk of behavioral problems in children due to perceived parental inattention.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that balance, right? How can you do that balance? You got to set limits, like she was talking about. Establish screen time limits and stick to them. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no more than an hour of screen time per day for children aged 2 to 5 years old. Quality over quantity. So focus on high quality educational content, co-viewing, just as she had said, and discussing the content can enhance learning and make screen time more beneficial. Then, of course, encourage other activities. Promote physical activities, outdoor play, face-to-face interactions to just ensure like a well-rounded development. Because, yes, I am a proponent that we are only leaning and going more into screens and technology and all that. So we can't just remove it, you know? 100%. But
balance it.
Give them both.
And there's a lot of apps.
Yes.
Online that yes. show you how much screen time you're using as a family. So yeah. you individually, your kids. Yes.
I mean, Apple does weekly.
Screen time, it does the weekly screen time thing. But there's apps that literally tell you like percentages, what you did and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And timers as well. Yep. Hey, like after a certain point, it alarms you like you've been on your phone consistently yep. for this much time.
Yep.
And then I always encourage too, it's like, okay, well, if you are going to do screen time, make sure it's like an educational
yep.
thing. So there's yep, a ton yep. of apps too that can guide you on more educational learning.
Absolutely.
I was shocked mm-hmm. when I got YouTube Kids.
Yes.
That it when for those of you that don't know, when you go onto YouTube Kids, mm-hmm. it asks you like what age. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, 2 to 4, right? There was definitely things on there mm-hmm. that were not appropriate no. for 2 to 4.
No. YouTube is
and you
wild
trust. Yeah, you trust this, right? You're like, mm-hmm. no, I picked the 2 to 4. No, there were a ton of things that I was seeing on there. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
All like weird things and mm-hmm. people saying weird things mm-hmm. and acting a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I just started blocking channels.
Yeah.
I started blocking channels. And now every single time that she's on the phone, if I'm like, let's say cooking and she wants to watch some cartoons, she's right next to me. And I'm yeah. like listening to everything that she's listening to.
Yeah. You have to.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's strange too. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyways.
Now we only really use like Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But she loves watching like PBS and stuff like that, yeah. like on YouTube Kids. But now it's crazy. I just started blocking. Yeah, I don't like too. Something. I block the me whole too. Entire channel.
Me too. I do exactly the same thing. I yeah. block.
I think about how many parents just know their kids go to their room with the phones and they have no idea, right?
Yeah.
I blocked Masha the bear. Masha the bear.
I know. She's Masha's a menace.
Frisky. Yeah.
She's a freaking menace.
So I was like, oh, no, block it.
Yeah. Too much. She's way too much. Some ideas to create these effective strategies, to reduce some screen time in your family. Clear rules and limits. So establish daily screen time limits for each family member, including parents. Yeah. Yep. Create a family media plan with agreed upon rules for device usage. Use parental controls. They are very effective. Even YouTube Kids and all that, they have it. Like we were talking about. Go ahead and use those tools.
I think the
tools.
Parental controls can be really great, but yeah. you need to actually use them.
Of course.
Right?
Exactly. You could also create tech-free zones and times. I kind of love this idea. So designate certain areas of the home as screen-free, like bedrooms and dining areas, whatever. Implement tech-free times, such as during meals and an hour before bedtime, as she was saying.
Yep.
And then have a central charging station where all devices are stored overnight.
Yeah.
That one's easier said than done, but it's an idea if you could do it. You know,
I love, this is how we do everything in moderation.
Exactly.
So I always say at a certain time, everyone puts their electronics into yeah. a basket. All chargers are in the kitchen. Yeah. There's no electronics in the room. Every single time that I tell this to a teenager in the room, they look at me like they want to kill me.
Yeah.
So I just say it already. Yeah. I just look at them. I'm like, I know you're not going to like what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is what you should do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I tell them like, no electronics in the room, no chargers in the room.
Yeah.
Okay. When 8 p.m. rolls around, I want phones, I want game controls, I want like the actual controls to like the TVs in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And everything. Why? Because you're supposed to just be settling down now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And like getting your, you're not focusing on what's like the phone. You're exactly. trying to focus on like settling down and trying to go to sleep. Right?
Exactly.
And also, again, everyone's life is different, mm-hmm. right? Because I also don't feel like kids that really work hard in school and they're doing homework, okay, all this time, and then they finally have some time to just peruse on the phone.
Exactly.
So it's like everything needs a balance too. So, right. okay, if I see that you're my kid and you've been doing your homework, I literally think that you were studying this entire time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little bit of leeway.
Of course.
A little bit of like wiggle room.
100%.
But again, that looks different for everyone. But 100% dinner time, everyone should be eating together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Talk to each other.
Yes. To talk to each other, to talk about the days. Even if you don't say anything.
Yeah.
Right. Even if you don't say anything, the act of just getting together with your family and no phones in the table, no tablets on mm-hmm. the table. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then no living room TV, unless it's like a special occasion and you want to watch something special or something like that. But
like the Olympics or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you know, all those things like you need to create like as a family.
Exactly. Exactly.
So then you can also just piggybacking off of that, you can encourage different activities. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, with your family, you can encourage different activities. So regular family planning activities don't involve screen times like game nights, outdoor adventures. So go out, get out, do something else. So if it's rainy, okay, well, look up a recipe, have your kids cook with you. Keep a variety of non-screen entertainment options. So books, board games, art supplies, anything like that that could get them out of that, that the only thing that they can do is screen time. Yeah. And then encourage the children to pursue hobbies and interests that don't rely on technology. I can't stress this enough.
Yeah.
Just get a sport.
Yeah.
There's a million sports. You can pick one.
Sports are huge. Like just for our kiddo, huge.
Anything. Go outside. It does, and it can be like anything. It can be Boy Scouts. It can be a sport in general. It can be swimming.
Soccer.
Anything. So you can find something. You just need to make the effort to find what your kid is really interested in.
Absolutely.
Also, you need to lead by example. So don't tell your kid something and then be like the first person doing it. Right. Or don't tell your friend and then be the first person doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So parents should model healthy screen time habits following the same rules for children's and then be mindful of your own screen time, especially when it's interacting with your children, and then engage in screen-free activities together as a family. The gradual reduction and replacement. So you start small, achieve goals for reducing screen time, replace screen time with quality time and physical activity. It's just slowly steps.
Yeah, you can't just do it willy-nilly like that's it, cold turkey. You know? It's not going to work like that.
Yeah. And then discuss reasons for reducing the screen time. You need to like have these conversations. Your kid will be pissed off. They are going to cry. They're going to be angry. It's fine. They'll get over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also be fair. Right. Don't just.
Like you were saying.
Yeah, exactly. No, you need a balance. Right.
Of course.
So teach critical thinking skills about media consumption and online safety. That's a big one that I push to. Yeah. And some parents look at me like really confused at what I'm saying. But there are a lot of online bullying, of extortion, online extortion, all these things that can really affect kids.
Yeah.
And I tell parents, I'm like, you need to be careful with all these things. And then optimize screen time. So when screens are used, prioritize educational interactive content, right? So watch shows, play games together as a family, use screens purposely rather than just default to activity or like background noise. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. And that's why moderation is key.
Yeah, and no one is perfect.
No, like, no family is perfect.
I'm a pediatrician and I'm a mom too.
Yeah.
And I definitely showed Nora like screen time before these recommendations. And yes, like we use these guidelines, right? There's going to be times where you may fall out of the guideline. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But be aware that these guidelines do exist for a reason.
Right.
Right. So there's going to be days. There's days where I, at Nora's grandparents' heifer, cannot control
everything.
You know, everything over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's going to happen. But I think if people generally stick to these guidelines, then
you try your best.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, we wanted to bring this up. Like we said, it's, you know, the school year's kind of starting. It's kind of in everybody's mind. Screen time is a big, big part of school.
Get visions checked.
Yes, get visions checked. And thank you for tuning in. This was Screen Time for Patreon this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and for being patrons. We really appreciate you guys. And of course, like always, if you guys have any other suggestions, you guys come first on your suggestions because you're patrons. And we'll see you on the next one. Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.